Knightsville. It's August 25th, 2017, and this is episode 330 of Phil Hewlett and Friends. A whole lot to get to on today's show. So, listen, if you are a dog person, you should probably get checked for fleas. No, if you're a dog person, you have reason to celebrate tomorrow. That's why today we'll speak with a dog and cat expert, Carlin Montes de Oro. I think she's a dog person.
I hope so, if we're talking to her about it.
Manny the movie guy has met a dog or two in his life, and he has his top 10 movies and bottom 10 movies for 2017 so far. Travel dude Gary Warner has a top secret topic for us today.
Don't say anything.
And you'll hear about a charity that is near and dear to me when the founder of an annual hockey-themed event joins us live. Let's meet the friends. She can rock a pink mohawk like nobody else. She's the soccer mom from hell. Radio badass Kelly J.
None of my kids played soccer.
And there's reason for that.
Yes.
We have fresh blood on the show. He's the co-host of Slapshot Radio, heard on Nashville's 100,000-watt fire breather, 102.5, The Game, also heard on SoundCloud. He blogs for HockeyBuzz.com, and he's the public address announcer for the Nashville Predators, Paul McCann.
Anaheim Ducks, go!
Uh-oh, your job is on the line, Phil.
That didn't feel right.
Bad alliance called.
I felt so dirty. I'm sorry.
Go get some Jeremy gel.
And in the studio with us, whipping up a mean batch of virtual coffee, it's Intern Ricky.
What's up?
Hey.
And don't forget to play the Intern Ricky game.
We get to play a game?
You don't know what that is.
No!
She knows it.
No. Dang it, I've been gone too long.
Yeah. Right. No, we kind of let you figure out what it is, too.
Okay.
Has anybody figured it out yet?
Yes. Me.
You didn't tell me there was
you
a game. Wow.
Right? Look at us, Paulie. Keep us in the dark.
Here's a game. Here's a game. When you wake up in the morning, I want you to rip the sheets off your mattress and put your nose right there on the bed and sniff it.
Ew. God.
And now that you've done that, you realize that you need to get a new bed, don't you? Well, here's what I recommend, the Droma bed. It is the newest, most advanced memory foam mattress ever made. It's eco-friendly, ultra-comfortable, state-of-the-art materials, ergonomic design techniques. But never mind all of that. The best thing about it is that Droma bed will give you, the people that run the joint over there at Droma, they'll give you a 200-night risk-free trial.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do I have to sniff it?
They'll ship it to you for free if you're in the 48 contiguous.
I love that word.
Contiguous states.
Contiguous.
And then on night 199, you and your bed mate can discuss it and say,
sniff it.
You know what? I had a timer go off on my phone. What do you want to do? Keep it or you know, whale it or sail it?
Whale it or sail it? I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good.
And if you sail it, they'll just send a truck over and pick it up for you.
All right.
Anyway, you need the Droma bed. Go check them out on our sponsors page. And for a limited time, we have an exclusive offer code that gets you $75 off just for saying hello. Hey, Phil, thanks for the $75. Go to philhewlettandfriends.com, sponsor page, look for the Droma button. Droma, dream on one. And while you're on the website, oh, my gosh, be sure to hit the green button on the right that says subscribe here. And you'll see all the various ways that you can subscribe with your iPhone, your iTunes, whatever, your Android, you know, all the things.
All those smart things.
All the things the kids are using these days.
Too much.
To subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single thing. And thank you very much. And so, what do you say we get the show started?
Yes!
Do it.
Not that I haven't already gone in 4 minutes.
I'm blabbling.
Yeah.
Bah.
The hell.
What was that? Whale it or sail it?
Whale it or
That's
sail
freaking
it.
Freaking awesome.
You like
I love
that?
It. Yeah, I do.
All right.
It's like the show of sayings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in Tennessee, so I don't quite get that kind of stuff here, you know.
That's all right. So we'll start with you, Kelly. What do you say? Whale it or sail it is not an everyday object, but we do live with things that we take for granted and don't think all that much about because they're just there and they're part of our life, but they are, they're, what are they doing? Killing
Everything,
us slowly?
No, thank God none of these are. But it's like one of those things you just use and you don't really realize there's a purpose behind it. So if you guys, I wear beanies with the little balls on the top. I have various beanies.
Wait a minute. Before you get into the beanies.
Okay.
I talked about you rocking a pink mohawk.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not pink today.
It's a greenish blue right now.
Yeah, I got to take a picture of that and post it.
It changes.
Yeah?
I'm a chameleon.
It starts kind of greenish in the back and blues up a little bit as you get
forward. Yeah, it's kind of a yellow green in the back. back, and by the time you get to the front of it, it's like a blue green.
And your kids do not play soccer because you threatened punishment akin to death.
My daughter, who's 20, did play soccer for a smidge, and I am one of those obnoxious parents on the sidelines. But I'm never mean. Like, I'm always like, go, go, go. My hubby, like, videotaped me one time.
Yeah, right.
Just getting crazy.
Yeah.
But that's me.
Yeah.
That's just me. Okay.
All
you
right.
Take a picture. I'm going to tell you about you, stuff. So
yes,
I wear beanies.
Yes, I'm going to action shot.
Okay. And there's that bauble on the top of some of the beanies, right? Is that big puff at the top?
Yeah. What is this? Is there a purpose for
there
that?
There is a purpose. So French Marines would wear a sailor hat with the bauble on the top of it to prevent themselves from hurting their heads in the low cabin ceilings. So the furry bauble would soften any head blows. And if they would stand and kind of act as a warning sign if you felt your bauble grazing across your scalp, then you would know you're about to whack your noodle, right?
So, yeah, right.
There you go.
You ever get in a submarine?
No, I haven't. I would love to, though.
The doors are made for like 5 foot one
guys.
Yeah,
exactly, right? So you're in like low things. Okay. And then backpacks, of course, they come with that little diamond shaped little pig nose symbol in the back. You know, and everybody thinks, oh, this little designer thing. No, you think it's a fashion statement, but it serves as a purpose. So hikers and climbers can attach a rope or a metal loop. He's trying to take a picture of me, distracting me.
All angles.
I know.
Get distracted.
But anyway, you can like hook your shoes onto it so you don't have to carry your shoes while you're carrying your backpack. You just slide it through the little pig nose thing, hang your shoes on there, and your hand's free.
I needed that when I was rollerblading to school in high school, man.
Dude, we never even thought of backpacks back in, I'm from the Midwest. We didn't even use backpacks.
Wait, you
to
rollerbladed
go to
school?
I did.
He's
until
one
I
of
got
those
a car.
Guys.
I did.
Did
wow.
you? Good for you.
I did.
Oh, wow.
Gosh, you guys make me feel old. I did the old belt around the book thing. I mean, come on.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way old school.
That's old school. Man. Okay, here we go. I'm going to leave the headrest one for last because that kind of creeped out
it
Phil.
It does, yeah.
Okay, so if you love drinking soda or diet soda, the tab of the soda can, normally that you think that is what opens it. No, it actually has a purpose. If you spin it around, you can put a straw through the hole and it'll hold the straw in place while you drink your soda.
Ah.
I had no idea.
I actually knew that. I actually learned that from a millennial.
Did
so
you?
Yes,
damn it,
I
don't
did.
Give
my
them
daughter,
credit.
Yeah.
Don't give them credit. No.
I'm sorry. You know, you got to give it to them where it's due.
Oh, fine. I'll give you one.
Yeah.
Okay. So they call this the punt at the bottom of the wine bottles. It's that little, like, you know how the bottom of the bottle kind of goes inward?
Yeah.
It's like a little concave shape?
Sure.
So it also allows all the sediment, and mostly in red wine, I'm assuming, that goes to the bottom, and it kind of sits in that little circle-y area, so when you pour it, it doesn't come out into your glass and make you go, ew, I'm not drinking this.
Ew.
Yeah. So that's what that's for.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Sediment, that stuff is tasty.
Here we go. The number 57 on the Heinz bottle. Do you guys know what that is?
It's different ingredients.
Mm-hmm. No, but the actual, if you look at the bottle, on the ketchup bottle, it has a little 57 that's embedded in the glass.
Oh.
Do you know what that's there for?
I didn't know. I've had plastic ketchup bottles for the last 20
the
years.
The squeezies?
Yeah.
I hate them. Yeah, the squeezies are good. Okay.
To give you something to grip on so you don't drop it?
No, basically that is the sweet spot. When you turn it over to pour it, if you hit the bottom and hit it on the 57, that's the sweet spot of the bottle to make the ketchup come out.
Oh.
Well, right?
You
nice.
Know, no. You know, some of us have learned the whole science or the physics of getting the ketchup out of the bottle. And it's not just slamming on it like this. You know, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You hold your slam hand, kind of solid.
Yeah.
And you got to get the bottle to go the opposite direction while you hit it. And so there's opposite force in various different ways, I guess one way and the other way, and then boom.
That's
so
opposite.
You go backwards with the bottle and down
forward
with your
slam hand,
and then the stuff comes out right away.
But you have to hit it on the 57.
If you just hit it, actually, it causes the ketchup to go deeper into the bottle.
Well, you got to get the air bubble to the back of it, too. See, that's why they come up with the squeezy bottle.
This is where you have a plastic bottle. Yeah.
Totally, right? Okay, so here's the headrest.
Yeah.
So many people, obviously, you know, you have it there if you get rear-ended and, you know, it protects your neck, but you also can sleep on it. But in an unfortunate scenario where you're trapped in your car and you desperately need to get out, all you have to do is remove the headrest, okay, and you have those two little wedgy things.
Yeah.
Wedge it into the windowsill of your car and you make sure that the metal tongs are wedged into the window, and by cranking it lightly, the window will shatter and you can make your escape.
Wow.
Nice.
There was no diseases. No making you sick.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, you're in a lake somewhere and
underwater.
You need to get out, right? Boom, done.
Or if you're in the ocean, you hang on to that. You fend off sharks and other
right?
things with those
poke
two
them in
prongs.
The nostrils.
Exactly.
Right. Right in the nose.
Right
there
in the
you
eyes.
Go.
Right in the eyes.
So next time you have to use a glass Heinz 57 ketchup bottle, you know how to get it out of there.
Yep.
And not look like an idiot trying to do it with your slam hand.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about millennials later.
Ugh, yes.
But let's talk about a little bit younger because you have to have your comeuppance.
Yep.
To become a millennial or whatever. Gen Z? Who's
I don't
next?
Even know.
They're going to Generation Zombie, I think is where we're going.
That's about right.
That's true. I like it.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, when you go to school, how many of you wore like Catholic girl dresses?
I did not, thank God.
Ricky, did you wear one of those?
Not on the first day.
No? Okay.
Where did they have uniforms? I went to Catholic school, but did not wear that. No.
I was hoping there
was
pictures.
Was there a white shirt?
I didn't have the legs to carry it off. I just, you know.
Yeah, but you had a white shirt and the black pants and wingtips,
yep.
Right?
Absolutely, and they couldn't be shiny.
No.
You
weren't allowed to wear patent leather. Uh-uh.
You know why? Tell the story. I know why.
I know why, too.
Because they reflect up and you could see up the girl's skirts.
Uh-huh.
Catholic.
Because that's Catholic fun right there.
There you go, baby.
I'm a 12-year survivor of Catholic education.
I can hear the guilt dripping from your voice. All right, so what's new with dress codes in high schools?
Well, apparently these stories come out this time of year every year because, I mean, you know, a lot of kids going back to schools right now. And it's like, you know, and the first couple of days there are kids getting sent home because of the dress codes. It's like, well, you can't show a bra and you can't wear a tube top and you can't. Now, first off, I'm going to sound so old school right now and go, what self-respecting parent is going to send their kid to a school in a tube top?
Not me.
But you know what? But be that as it may, the thing I always notice about these is that for some reason, it's always the girls that are being publicized on this or shamed on this or something like that. And it's like, you know, I'm waiting to see one that says, well, I'm sorry there.
Well, you know what it is, Paul?
That was a flood, you know. I mean, yeah. I don't know. What is it?
Tell what me. It is that we haven't, I mean, as far as we've gone, with, I guess, sexual orientation and understanding and all that sort of thing in a very short period of time, maybe the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Girls and women still own sexy.
Oh, yeah. I'm bringing sexy back. Hey.
Who was waiting for that one?
You know, and so this is the litmus test when the school officials look at the clothing. They're saying, okay, we don't want it to go too sexy because high school and adolescence and, guys walking around, with
problems,
unfortunate wooden problems.
Diffies.
You know, there you go.
Yeah.
Diffies. During class, it could be a distraction. And, when you're 14, 15, 16, you see a knot in a tree and you get hopped up.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, you know, it's the old Eddie Murphy joke of, you know, you walk in a room and fish stop swimming. I mean, you know, it does get – sometimes you just wonder if it's just, you know, can we just stop paying attention to this crap?
Well, you know, what's funny is so they have to focus on the girls, but then – and I get it. I'm sorry. But if you are showing some butt cheek, wrap that stuff up.
Yeah.
Or even the shorts nowadays. Like, I've seen shorts where they're like the high-rise fashions coming in.
Yeah.
More fabric above the hoo-ha than below the hoo-ha. And it's like, seriously? You guys are putting this on upside down or something because it's not looking right.
Right.
But no, there was this four-year-old little boy in... I don't remember I can't remember what state he was in, who went to preschool. His mom has never cut his hair. His hair is down to about his elbows.
Yeah.
They sent him home because he had long hair.
Yay.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's so ridiculous. Let the little kid have his hair.
As a Catholic school veteran, I was, you know, I've seen many a guy sent home for long hair, but this was, of course, in the early 70s. But.
Well, and the funniest part is if you look at all the pictures of Jesus got some long hair.
Yeah. But
so why didn't that go wrong?
In today's schools, you know, they don't have time for reading, writing, and arithmetic because they've got that loom. And they've got that basket weaver machine, and they've got that 3D printer. And long hair could get, you know,
wrapped up in that 3D printer.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the essence of being an adolescent is that you want to rebel. And so why don't these schools get smart and say, okay, from now on, only sexy clothing.
Right? Oh, because then,
the girls will show up in burkas.
With G-strings underneath, because, you know, you got to feel sexy inside.
A burkini.
I kind of like it. I kind of like it.
Right? they're going to do the opposite.
You know, it's kind of weird you saying you kind of like it, and we're talking about high school kids and sexy clothes, Paul. You need...
No, I was saying
backtrack.
I was going again. Yes, big time. But, you know, I'm saying, you know, hey, again, you want to rebel? go ahead. Come in naked, whatever. And, you know, you're right. They'll go, oh, well, we ain't doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the line?
I forgot to tell you, I know you're a newbie on the show here, Paul, but we do have a sign at the door that says, check your shovel. And so before you come in, you're not allowed to dig holes. And then the
because I'll throw you in there so fast.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I do. But hey, I get it. You know, but again, the first rule of holes when you're in one, stop digging.
All right. So the Game of Thrones is a remarkable phenomenon, and I've not watched a single one
Me
yet.
Me either. Woohoo!
Me
high
either.
Five.
Hey, this high is cool. We're all
three-way high five.
That's four of us. Okay.
You know,
Ricky
all four of us haven't watched it.
I watched either.
Oh, snap!
All right.
This.
Now, while the rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket watching Game of Thrones, apparently, and we're the only ones who'll be left after post-apocalyptic survivors. That's who we are.
Yep.
So Arby's is taking advantage of the fact that Game of Thrones apparently only has three episodes per season, because two shows ago we were talking about how the premiere of season 7 was coming, and now they're talking about the finale.
When is it, though? So why are they talking about the finale when they've only been like three in?
Well, Arby's,
okay,
which sounds like a U-turn from
right?
where we were going,
yeah.
But Arby's is getting in on the action here, the Game of Thrones action, and Sunday night is the season finale.
Four episodes in or so?
Yeah. So Arby's is promoting a limited release as, this is what they're calling it, Turkey is Coming. They're selling giant turkey legs with seasoned with salt and brown sugar.
Okay.
And then they will slow smoke them to slow roasted perfection, and the legs will weigh about a pound each.
Oh,
that doesn't sound like a giant turkey leg to me.
Yeah, it's kind of a mediocre
maybe
turkey.
Like 4 or 5 pounds would be appropriate.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I guess they're swinging turkey legs in Game of Thrones.
Are they?
They must be.
I don't know. That's so ridiculous. We haven't watched it, so I haven't.
And they're wiping their hands on their fancy medieval clothing.
Of course they are.
Or they're letting the dog lick off their hands. What, you know?
Ew.
Is that what people do?
So guys, I'll be back in about 15 minutes because there's Arby's right up the street. So I'll be right back.
go get him.
Duly noted.
Got it. You made me hungry.
Food stories while Paul's on the show. Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's dribbling all over. He's drooling, guys.
Well, I got another one for you, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah.
Every fall, we hit pumpkin overload, right?
Oh,
the pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin spice, you know.
Everything.
Nose spray, whatever the heck they've got.
Hey, Phil, there's actually a store, you know, in my neck of the woods that actually they sell pumpkin spice rubber on their tires.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know.
In case you're a tire biter.
What's that
exactly.
What is the? There's not even a point to that. Like, what are you going to lay down? Oh my God! They do.
Wait a minute. Put on your good old boy hat for a second.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right.
Continue, Phil. I'm sorry. Got distracted.
Now, to follow the stream of consciousness here, Kit Kat has joined the pumpkin insanity.
Blech.
They have pumpkin pie flavored Kit Kats.
No. No.
And they've been seen at various grocery stores across the country.
Nashville.
Right. And
yes.
And they are described as crisp wafers in a pumpkin pie flavored cream.
Gross. Gross.
You think
no.
so?
No.
Pumpkin pie is a great flavor. Do you like pumpkin pie?
I sometimes.
Would you put whipped cream on your Kit Kat?
No.
I might.
Try it once.
Go for it. Paul? Go on. Get him some. Come on. We need it.
Is this torture for you?
Get some whipped cream.
No. Because the whole wrapped in chocolate thing is going to mess it all up. Unless it's wrapped in white chocolate, then it could possibly be quite good.
I don't know. I'm thinking we need to do a sampler. We need to get some Kit Kat, pumpkin spice Kit Kat, and some Cool Whip. And then we can come in here and dip it.
Cool Whip?
Cool Whip. All right, taste test time.
Yeah, all right.
Intern Ricky.
I'm out.
Hey,
go find it.
Later this hour, because it's a two-hour program. We're going to hear from Manny the Movie Guy. And just a reminder, I cannot wait to hear what his top 10 movies are for the year.
Oh, I can't wait for the bottoms.
Well, you like the bottoms. And in just a few moments, we're going to talk dogs.
Yay!
You have a dog?
I got two.
Two dogs?
Two dogs.
How about you, Paul? You got any dogs?
I have a couple of grand puppies.
Oh, grand puppies. Wow. I like that.
That means your son or daughter has puppies?
My son has a boxer who is absolutely insane, and my daughter has a Jack Russell Terrier who makes the boxer look
normal.
Sane.
Yeah. Yeah, Jack Russells are a bit out there.
So are you called upon to dog sit?
Occasionally, yes.
What kind of damage do they do?
Well, you know what? We have replaced one throw rug already, but you know, other than that, they've been pretty good.
Oh, all right.
I have an American Bulldog who's 90 pounds of, like, Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then I have a little terrier who is the meanest. He could be the meanest, but he's the alpha. He's like this little Terry, he's like 14 years old. That dude has skated death 5 times.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He has punched death in the face.
Because he leads with his teeth. Is that right?
He's just, dude, if we had time, I would tell you the stories of how this guy has just said, no death.
Yeah.
Not now.
Yes. Well, we have a 10 or 12 or 14-year-old.
You don't even know?
No. We just had a birthday and I forgot the year. It's like 11, I think.
You're horrible.
11 or 12.
You're a bad dad.
Oh, it's 11. That's right. Because I remember, happy 77th. To Ginger. Ginger is a Maltiwawa.
Aww. Aww. One of them punting dogs.
Half Maltese, half Chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
And she's
kicker.
Neurotic as hell.
Yeah, exactly.
if her little neck chain chingus that says the name of her owners and her name and the phone number and that sort of thing, if it hits her little kibbles and makes a noise, she'll jump like 5 feet back. And then,
please send me a video.
And then not want to eat anymore until we create a different environment for her.
You have to put it in a plastic bowl.
That's awesome.
We've passed that.
Doesn't work?
The bowl
just
became,
put it on the floor.
The bowl became evil. Yeah, we've done floor for a while.
The bowl became evil.
Yes.
Wow.
All of a sudden I'm thinking that one of my grandpuppies is a lot more normal than I'm giving him credit for.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I know we've never owned a dog before until this one. My daughter brought this one home at like 11:30 at night on a Sunday, thinking that we wouldn't notice.
Oh, no, we're not going to notice.
And I said, no, in the morning, this dog's going back, you know, to whatever puppy mill you found it in. And by the time the morning came around, my wife had already fallen in love.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
she was
and I,
sworn
and I
against
see you
dogs,
won that
too.
One, yeah. Well, I see you won that one.
We have like a little dwarf hamster, and my hubby refuses to call.
Yeah.
They do bite.
Gosh.
Right? They do. I mean, she's so cute.
Biting hamsters?
Oh, yeah. I can't hold her because she bites me and takes off. But my hubby just calls it that thing.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to name it. I'm like, dude.
I bet they're tasty. But
I'm sure. My bulldog.
I just want you to know that I'm a man of principle.
Oh. Okay.
Because I was followed home one day from the sidewalk to our front door. That's how far I was followed.
40 feet.
By a little red kitten.
Oh.
It fit in my palm. I brought it inside and I called the authorities. And
hey, kitty guys, gotta come get this one.
So anyway, this cat was bonding with me instantly. I was sitting at my computer and it was sitting on my shoulder while I was working, and it climbed up onto my head for a while and took a nap while I was while I was working.
That's your cat now, huh?
Well, no. I'm a principled man. When the folks in the uniforms and the net and the truck with the refrigerated container box areas showed up, I said, here's your kitten. And they said, oh, this one will get picked up by a home. You know, a nice, healthy family will pick this up. And
you didn't keep it after it slept on your head?
Like a half hour. No,
you
that's
are
how,
a heartless
that's
man.
That's how principled I am.
Principled to what?
This house is a non-animal house. But look, now 11
got
years.
A little punting
we've
dog.
Got hair and dander all over the place, and we've probably gone nose blind to the the dog
stench. You need a cat.
I don't want to hear it.
This is what we're going to talk to Carlin Montes de Oro about any moment now. Well, when you're in Southern California, by the way, because I know you were thinking about it.
Come on out.
Come on down. Come on down to the studio, but don't knock on the door because we won't answer it because we don't know who you are.
And you're creepy.
But just steps away from here is Port Sokal Waterfront Dining. Am I right?
I was just there the last time I did the show.
It is so
Mike was there last time.
Just wonderful. Every seat in the place has a dynamic view of the L.A. Harbor.
It does.
Every seat. There. They have daily sunset specials, the South Bay's best champagne brunch. They have that outside harborside patio where not only do you enjoy your food, but you can smell the ocean, which sometimes doesn't smell all that great,
right.
To
it's
be honest.
Yeah, right. It's kind of scary, but still. But I digress.
Happy hour every day from 3 to 7. You need to get reservations and tell them I said hi. And they'll say, who? And their phone number is 310-833-3553. Or you can go online, portsocalldining.com.
With an O. Yeah. O. And no O-F, just an O.
Don't forget, subscribe to our show. Now, tomorrow...
That was random, but okay.
Tomorrow is National Dog Day. Already been doing our fair amount of dog talk here. This is a day set aside to celebrate everything wonderful about dogs in our lives who love us unconditionally.
They do.
Because we feed them.
we pick up their poop.
They're so happy to see us when we come home.
They are.
Because they know we're about to feed them. They protect us, make us
because
better people.
Because we won't feed them.
That's right.
Yeah.
They make us better people, I'm told. They extend our lives, I'm told. And they
only if we feed them.
And they stink up our houses, which I know for a fact.
Because we feed them.
Because we feed them, yeah.
Let's bring in our dog expert. She's an award-winning author of the book, Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, and Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. She's also the founder of the Animal-Human Health Connection, which focuses on bringing awareness to the many powerful ways that animals enhance human health, happiness, and longevity, which I suppose I could use a little learning in that
respect.
Yes,
apparently.
Carlin Montes de Oro, hello. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, though. I was just about to feed my dog.
Yeah, so that your dog keeps liking you. Or loving you unconditionally. National Dog Day. Wait till my dog finds out about this.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Don't tell mine.
No. Don't?
Oh, it's viral. It's all over the place. They know. So you better fork up something good.
Yeah, right?
I guess.
They've already hashtagged it on their
what
doggy
I do,
social media.
I have
media.
Like the three or four different treats, and what I do is I kind of blend them together.
Yeah. I like this.
Now, what should we ponder about our pooch tomorrow?
I think that there is so much to ponder about our pooches tomorrow, but I think it's great to just celebrate the fact that they have been our friends and in our lives for thousands of years now, and it's just getting better and better, especially now that we're understanding that there's an actual health and, you know, health and wellness benefit to having them in our lives.
There is. There's nothing better than hugging your pooch.
So if I have a sprained ankle, should I let my dog lick it?
Yes.
You know what? There is actually what they're seeing is that in the saliva, there's some component in saliva that helps actually when they're licking themselves, like on their legs or whatever whatever injury they may have, that helps with promoting healing. And it's funny because I see that with dogs all the time in our family. Like my daughter, I write about this in the book, that she sprained her ankle and one of our dogs just kept licking that ankle over and over and over again. So there is something to that.
They do seem to know where the pain is.
But then the
thing that I'm shaking my head over here because I you would know, is there any kind of peer review, double blind, surveys, all these types of things that they do? Or is it purely anecdotal evidence at this point that the saliva in the dog has healing properties?
There have been studies done, and I'm not trying to tap the book, but in the back of the book, I have like 100 different studies that I've linked to that show so many of these benefits, and I know that was one of them. So,
well, see, because if they're out in the wild and they get hurt, then that's all they have is they have to lick their wounds. That's licking your wounds, taking care of yourself.
But the problem with that is where I usually see a dog licking, I guess we got to take them to the urologist.
Well, you know what? That may be because honestly, not to get too gross, but I once had an issue with one of my dogs in that way. Like, I'm like, why is that? And actually, one of my other dogs had a problem in that area. And it was good because in a way, he knew before the vet.
There it is.
Yeah. Pretty sure my dog has a hemorrhoid.
You'll know.
So, Carlin, what should we do with our dog to celebrate?
Well, I think that a lot of people enjoy doing things that they enjoy doing, like, doing a little, party or whatever. But I think you should do what your dog would enjoy. So what would your dog enjoy? Mine love to go for an extra walk, so I'm giving each one of them an extra walk tomorrow. Or, like my dogs love to go in the car and just drive.
They drive your car?
They drive my car. No.
What?
I drive the car.
It's a stick shift. I'd be impressed. Okay.
What?
Yeah, my dogs are English. They drive on the wrong side.
There you go. I like that. Oh, nice. Nice. Well played. Volley back to you.
No, but I think that we are all thinking what we would love to give our dogs, but how about what they would love? And they like simple pleasures. I mean, you know, it can't get any more simple than a walk, and that's good for you, too.
A tummy rub. Oh, my dog will lay there for hours. He's just love me.
Yeah.
Just touch me.
I know.
Well, I just thought of something I'm sure my dog would love. I'm going to take my dog down to the there's a town in Southern California called Vernon. I'm going to take my dog to the Vienna sausage plant where they render the meat and stuff the sausages and all that. And you can smell it when you're driving up. It just smells like dead pigs.
And, yum.
And I'm just going to take my dog and walk it through the processing area at Vienna Sausage.
And
that
just
would be
let her go.
Enjoyable for a dog, I would suspect.
Is she going to eat something?
Well, maybe they've got something that falls off the conveyor belt. It'll be a little extra snack.
Oh, great. Then they'll get shut down by, you know, the food people because now there's a dog in the processing area.
There you go. I'm
not thinking that's a good idea, Phil.
No. They've got tours. They've got they've got the processing area that doesn't really make anything. That's just for the tour. And then they've got the stuff they don't show you where they actually make.
Well, just
sausage.
Make sure you wear that you put the little hair net on all over your dog so nothing falls off.
I don't know why I chose Vienna Sausage over Farmer John. They're right next door to each other.
Are they
the
really?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Drive to Vernon someday and roll the windows down. Take a nice sniff.
Oh Lord. Do it.
That's why the dogs stick their head out there. Oh, that's the best part. Take your dog on a drive. Yeah. They stick their head out the window and they're little.
Carlin, are you still with us?
Yeah, we've kind of taken over. Sorry, Carlin.
We're doing an interview.
I heard. You know what? I was just thinking about that. And as much as I don't want to rain on your parade, in terms of health and well-being for you and your dog, you know, it's... it might be good to take them to eat something a little healthier. You know, something that...
No Vienna sausages, she means.
That's no fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like your birthday. It's like one special day.
Like some rice and lamb. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, you know, I know this is probably another conversation, but one of the chapters in my book, I talk about how my dogs, who are 14 and 16 right now, so they're older dogs, I changed their diet into a plant-based diet. And, I mean, even the vet was amazed. In fact, the last time I took her, she's like, you have got to tell me what you're doing. This is, how did she reverse kidney disease?
Oh, snap. Wow.
Yeah. So it was, this is why, what I was thinking when you were talking about that, how I used to feed my animals meat and I was just not seeing them getting healthier. And then I switched over to this, which they're eating readily. And they're suddenly amazing. I mean, people keep asking me if the 16-year-old's a new dog and is she a puppy? And I'm like, no, that's Dakota. That's the dog I've had for all this time.
Well, what are you feeding them?
Tofu and sprouts?
Right?
Not exactly sprouts, though sometimes I do tofu. But basically, I eat plant-based. You know, I'm a vegan. So I pretty much am feeding them a lot similarly to what I eat. So it's always going to be a variety of foods, like a grain, like brown rice or quinoa. So there's like a grain base. And then there's like some beans, let's say. So there's a variety of beans. You could do garbanzo beans, you know, black beans, pinto beans, whatever. And then you can do like a, you know, vegetables, a little, like sweet potato and a little broccoli, you know.
Now, are you feeding them like your food? I mean, like, do you make the stuff for you and then feed them that? Or is this like a already prepared food?
Well, there's various ways you can go, and I personally like to do it myself.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, like, we're making the same food anyway, so I kind of, like, set aside different things, and you know, there is a little bit of a learning of how to kind of combine it, but it's not hard.
Well, here's what I want to know, Carlin. What's in your pooper scooper?
Right? Quinoa, beans.
Does that get a little bit extra? You know what I mean? You got to get out the hose every day?
No.
We learned the hard way that my big dog, I have an American bulldog, he is so lactose intolerant. We gave him cheese once. Oh, my God. It was horrifying.
Yikes.
So maybe the beans and stuff would be better.
Well, yeah. And the other thing, too, is to make your life easier, too. They do make, I mean, I'm not trying to promote the product, but it's what I use, too, as a backup. There's a kibble called V-Dog. And that's a great one because, you know, when I'm in a hurry and I don't have time to make all that, it's just like I do the kibble, which a lot of people do anyway. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is the proof's in the pudding. They're doing great.
Ah, the proof's in the poop. They're doing awesome.
By the way, let me just apologize because I forgot about the whole vegan thing. And that must have been excruciating for you to hear me talk about the city of Vernon and Vienna sausage and all that in such graphic detail.
Evil. There's that hole digging we talked about before.
Now I feel terrible.
You know, funny how we started this conversation and all the way through we're talking about food.
Yeah,
right?
But I'm going to redeem myself now, Carlin.
Okay.
One thing that I think a dog would like, if you did this tomorrow, is adopt a dog that's available at a local shelter.
Yes.
Do it.
Does that make sense?
100%. Yeah, and please, thank you very much for saying that because, you know, we have 1.5 million, well, actually, that's a combination of dogs and cats that are in our shelters that will be euthanized, and every one of them could be an amazing dog doctor or cat nurse in your life that could bring you so much. And tomorrow would be an awesome day to celebrate that and to bring somebody home.
Just make sure if you adopt, you can take care of them the right way. I hate that when people adopt dogs or animals and then they just, oh, I can't handle this. Come on.
Absolutely.
Don't be a parent then.
Yeah.
I know. And, you know, this is the thing. This is what I love about a lot of rescues now. They do have kind of a stricter kind of like, they don't want to see the animal back. They want to see the animal adopted to what we think of as a forever home, that somebody will take them in and they will become a member of their family forever for their whole life. So, you know, be patient with the fact that it's a process, just like you're adopting a kid. You don't just give the kid to anybody who walks by.
Right.
But this way we'll see if you're the best match.
All right. Now, explain me something now about dogs extending our lives and enhancing our health and our longevity and all that sort of thing. What's your belief system?
Well, there is so much to talk about that, but I'll just talk about one of the ones that will probably resonate for most people, which is our heart health. I mean, this is the number one thing that is that affects most people in our lifetime is heart disease. You know, number one killer, chronic illness. So think about just going out for a walk with your dog. Your dogs are always, wanting to get you up and get you out and get you to get moving. Exercise, huge. So if you have a dog, and there are studies that show this, you're more inclined to put on those sneakers, those sweatpants, and get outside and walk. Even if another friend of yours says, let's go walk, you'll walk more with your dog.
Yeah.
So that's number one. While you're out there, you're getting your heart moving, you know, your blood moving, you're getting your lungs moving, you're getting hopefully some vitamin D from the sun. You know, there's a lot, and you're getting out in nature, which so many of us are into our technology.
And let's not forget the walking a dog is a great icebreaker, you know, when you're to, you know.
Absolutely.
You're single. Heck yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of studies about that connection to others is something that will help promote our well-being and our longevity.
Yeah.
So just in a simple walk, there's a lot of benefits that we're overlooking.
Now, I want to ask you one more thing before I let you go. Since you are an acupuncturist, and I don't know that I mentioned that in your introduction, but you are.
She'll poke you right.
That's right. I've had that done. I've had a good acupuncturist, and I've had a bad one. But I read that treating senior dogs and chronically ill dogs with acupuncture is gaining popularity, and some vets say acupuncture helps up to 80% of the dogs who get it. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. Yesterday I had this exact conversation that I wish I had known acupuncture, you know, with all of my animals back, you know, when I was younger, because these guys are getting the benefit of that because I'm an acupuncturist. So every few days, you know, just like an older person is going to get benefit from all those aches and pains and lower back pain and just your energy levels. You know, if you see most older dogs, it's their lower back that's having an issue. And that's where we see so much benefit from acupuncture in terms of helping them just move better and, you know, and extending their life in that way because they're able to move and they get out of pain more.
How do you get them to stay still long enough to jab them with a needle?
I know. I'm thinking of the dog saying, well, oh, don't.
My terrier would
that.
Chew my face off.
Why are you hurting me?
Right?
This is the deal. It's not a hypodermic. You know, when I go get, you know, a hypodermic needle that they're drawing blood, I start sweating. I'm like, oh, my God, this is awful, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just give a secret. I mean, the first needle, first of all, the needles are like a cat's whiskers. They're barely anything. You can hardly see them. I put it in a point that I know is going to relax them. You know, so they're going to already start to get relaxed. And these guys know me, so I've...
Good acupuncturist.
Good
acupuncture. And then I start working on the points that... And they start getting the relief right away, which is wonderful. So they start relaxing into it. Hmm. So it's a relaxing... You know, that's the thing. It's relaxing, so you feel good. So they're not too worried, and it's not like it's painful. It's just, you know, they'll feel a little something, but they... kind of ignore it and go to sleep.
Yeah. All right. Well, just so you know, I mean, that's what my good acupuncturist was like. My bad acupuncturist, there was blood in every case.
Oh, no.
And he didn't just go in a little bit. He had to go in, like, all the way until he hit a nerve, and I went, ah! And so then that one would hurt for like the next 10 minutes because not only did he go too far, but I jumped while he went too far and now it poked something.
And then he didn't pull it back out or he left it there?
No, he just then he spun it a couple of times and wiped it off with his t-shirt and then he went to the next one.
You
know what? He doesn't sound like a fan.
I can get tattoos. Any other needles? No.
Yeah. All right. The book is called Dogs as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse. Sorry, we've totally ignored cats in this whole conversation.
Yeah, they're okay.
Well, next month is National Cat Day.
Okay. There you go.
Oh, well, maybe we'll have you back. All right.
Yes, please.
And so the book is available in the store, and we'll also link to it in the show notes when this program goes to podcast. So, and you have a website or two or three, I think, and they're practically impossible to remember, aren't they?
Okay, thank you, yes.
But I will link to those as well, because I know what they are, and I just don't remember at this moment.
Well, it's animalhumanhealth.com.
That's not so hard to remember.
That's not bad. Of course, we just over-talked her, so nobody heard what the hell it is.
Animalhumanhealth.com. What's the matter with you?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody go there. And thank you so much, Carlin Montes de Oro. It's a pleasure, as always, to speak with you. And sorry for my, again, for the sausage conversation.
Well, you more than made up for it, and I forgive you.
Aww.
See, she's a forgiver because she has a happy heart because of her puppies.
All right. Bye-bye, Carlin.
Bye, Carlin.
All right. Now, guess what? It is time to see what the movie companies have in store for you. It's a local Cineplex. Joining us now is a man who is so dedicated to his craft, he forced himself to watch this weekend's movie so you don't have to. KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
Hello. That's right. I had to sit through all of these films just for you.
Thank you.
I don't know if today's releases are bad necessarily, but I have read that they will all struggle to get to the 10 million mark at the box office, so that's usually not a good sign.
Yeah, well, especially for an animated film. There's one called Leap, by the way. I mean, for an animated film to make less than 10 million is a miracle, really, right?
Yeah, that's the animated film. Leap with an exclamation point.
Leap with an exclamation point. That's right. I really, really want to recommend this movie, but I can only do it half-heartedly. Except for the film's wonderful character design and moral center, the rest of the film feels very, very half-baked, especially the story. We have Elle Fanning, and I love her. Elle Fanning, she's the voice of Phyllis C. She's an orphan girl who dreams of becoming a ballerina and will do anything to succeed, even passing for someone else. This movie is not based on anything. It's supposed to be an original idea, but it feels very derivative. Even the addition of Carly Rae, Call Me Maybe Jepsen.
I don't like her voicing this. I just don't like her voice in this movie. It's annoying. She needs to just stick to singing.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, she can't save the film. She voices the role of Odette, an ex-dancer with a heart of gold who helps Felicity realize her dreams. Yeah. The bottom line of this film, I mean, you know, I enjoyed, you know, I told you that there's a big moral center in it. You know, follow your dreams. That's what it tells the kids, right? But the filmmakers decide to have lowbrow humor, like making fun of people with disabilities or trying to make a joke about chicken breast. And we'll leave it at that.
Oh.
Okay. So you've been warned.
Yeah.
Look before you leap. I'm giving Leap 2 out of 4 kisses.
All right. Then there's the Kung Fu movie, Birth of the Dragon. Is it a Kung Fu movie?
It is. You know, here's the thing. Bruce Lee is awesome, right? We all love him. But Birth of the Dragon, the movie based on the birth of the Kung Fu legend, it's not.
Oh, so it is a kung fu movie. I just took a wild leap. I had no idea.
I saw this film last year at the Toronto International Film Festival. Back then, I thought it was odd that the Caucasian characters overshadow the Asians.
Yeah.
But the film has been recut, and the result, less Caucasians, but it's still a bore. The setting is the 1960s in San Francisco. If you know a little bit about the myth of Bruce Lee, then you may have known about the controversial showdown between a then up-and-coming Bruce Lee, played by accomplished martial artist and fight choreographer Philip Ng, and Shaolin Master Wong Jack Man, played by Zia Yu. But the hero of the film is the Caucasian Steve McKee, played by Billy Magnussen. He's Bruce Lee's student and the one who urged his teacher to fight the Shaolin
Billy McMuffin?
Master.
Is that his name? Billy McMuffin?
Billy Magnussen.
McNuffin?
McNuffin. I thought I was going to go straight to McDonald's to order one of those Billy McMuffins.
I like a Billy McMuffin, please.
I thought a McLovin.
Yeah, this one, the film feels like A Star Is Born with a martial arts twist.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right.
That's no bueno.
We just got a twist and it knocked
him right out of here.
Manny right off of the tree.
If you like,
Hi, Manny.
We got the action scenes, but that's about it.
Oh, all right.
Barbra Streisand song for it though. That's what I want to know.
Which Barbara? One? I'm sorry. What?
Is there a Barbra Streisand song? That's what I want to know.
No, there's no evergreen song.
Not gonna see it.
And then there's a faith genre movie out again, and those always tend to have their grip of audience.
Yep.
They all go to it, and then they do $10 million in the box office, and they're happy because it costs 50 cents to make the movie. And it's called this one's called All Saints, correct?
All Saints, yes, but that's not the one. I am actually more excited to talk about Robert Pattinson. Remember him from Twilight?
Yeah.
Oh, is there another movie that I wasn't aware of?
Yes, that's the one that I'm really, this is my pick of the week from all the new releases. It's called
There's an actual good movie to see, good.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's actually good, and it's actually a good movie starring Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
So what's it called again?
Good Times.
Good Times.
Oh, okay.
After Twilight, he pretty much disappeared. He was down low, right? I mean, he pretty much disappeared from pop culture. I mean, he was making films. He was making movies like David Cronenberg's Cosmopolis and Map to the Stars. He even showed up in The Lost City of Z, which I love. But while his paramour in Twilight, Kristen Stewart, was winning awards from films like Clouds of Sils Maria, he was pretty much hiding. But now, look out, world. He's back in a crime drama called Good Time, and he's amazing in it.
Good.
Watch this film. It's a Good Time. It's a crime drama. He stars as Constantine Nikas. He's a bank robber who's desperately trying to get his mentally handicapped brother out of prison. What follows is a mad dash to saving their lives before time runs out. This is an amazing film. You will have a great time. I'm giving it 3.5 out of 4.
That's pretty good.
Nice.
Now,
yes.
Has Robert Pattinson worked on his enunciation a little bit? Because he was quite the mumbling vampire for many years.
Well, you know what? And so did Kristen Stewart. Remember how she was trying
to do a stop
and go, come on, I can't talk like this anymore.
Every single movie is the same. And she gets paid how much?
Except when she played Joan
Jett.
That's
right.
I never did see that movie.
I saw her in character at Comic-Con. They had a Twilight panel, and all the characters from Twilight came out. And she came out in character, that she was just living her life as Joan Jett. What do they call that? Method acting?
Yeah, method acting.
Yeah, and she
method
showed
method acting. Well, good for her.
She was slouched in her chair, and she was all
like punked out.
Yes, and people asked her questions. She was basically telling people to F off, and, you know.
So,
are you sure she was method acting there, Phil?
Yeah.
Did she just wake up on the wrong side of the bed?
I'm thinking that's a possibility.
Yeah, and fell right
Don't
into
be a... hating on Kristen Stewart. I love her.
She fell right into a pile of leather that morning, too. All right, so Manny, here's
And I'm not a Twilight fan. Go ahead.
Here's what we've been waiting for is Manny the Movie Guy's top and bottom 10 for the year so far.
That's right. You want me to start?
Well, what do we, I think we want the bottom 10 first.
Yeah, let's go there.
The bottom 10. All right, from 10 to 6. Let's do that. Number 10.
Well, these are the worst movie. Where the, now, let's be clear.
Oh, you want my worst.
Your worst?
Yeah.
Are you going to do the worst movies or not?
I am. Yes, we can do the worst if you want.
That's what I want.
No particular. Here's the thing, though. I mean, the bottom movies, and they all have a common denominator. These films
suck.
These films have interesting premise, but they all faltered at the end. For example, Transformers: The Last Night, Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Men Tell No Tales, 50 Shades Darker, Baywatch, The Mummy. They all have good premises. They're all, if they only did a good job. And you know what? At the end of all these films, I walked out of the theater feeling very empty, and I hate that feeling.
So those are the times. Five.
Yeah. And these are all like big names. You have Mark Wahlberg in Transformers.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp in Pirates. And Tom Cruise in The Mummy. And they are all lackluster.
I always find it interesting that, you know, when a movie reviewer walks out of the theater after seeing a terrible movie, and in your case, Manny, you feel empty. And that everybody else who just paid $18 to see a movie. Or, you know, with a family of six and the popcorn and all the stuff that goes with it.
Mortgage,
you just spent $150 to see a movie that sucks.
That's right. You're right.
And you have a completely different feeling than emptiness when you walk out.
You're just mad.
Yeah, you want.
Well, your wallet is empty.
You want to kick the millennial at the door with the funny hat on.
Kelly would do that anyway.
I just kick him on the way out. Yeah.
Well, most of the times I travel 2.5 hours just to see a film.
Oh.
And so my drive back for 2.5 hours is just like all wasted. That's why I hate them more. I mean, I hate them with a passion.
I don't have to drive that far, and I still get irritated.
All right. Manny, in the interest of time, I think we should get to your top 10, your best movies.
All right, ready?
Yes.
Number 10, The Lost City of Z.
Ooh.
With Charlie Hunnam. This one man's quest in a lost civilization is a grand, bold adventure that will spark your deepest ambitions. Number 9, it just came out, War for the Planet of the Apes. I love this exciting conclusion about humanity and being human. Number 8, and it's now out on DVD, Logan. Farewell, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and thank you for crafting an indelible character. I love him, and I love this film. Number 7, Detroit. Racism and police brutality are at the heart of this nail-biting Catherine Bigelow tale. Number 6 is Logan Lucky. It just came out last week as well. Welcome back from retirement, director Steven Soderbergh. This is Spirited Heist Comedy. Proves he's one of the best storytellers. Number 5, Wonder Woman. I love this film. And now her battle cry is love will save the world. And you know what? She's absolutely right.
Wait till she finds out. Wait till she finds out, Manny, that she's only number 5 since you traveled all the way to Greece to have coffee with her.
But that's still an amazing film considering that there's so far I've seen like, I don't know, 200 movies
right?
already.
Right, totally. Yeah, it's
that's
in the
a pretty
10.
Good thing. Number 4 is The Big Sick. If you guys haven't seen The Big Sick yet, go ahead and watch this. This is smart and funny cross-cultural film single-handedly restored my faith in romantic comedies. And when was the last time you've seen a really, really good romantic comedy without, you know, any raunchiness or anything?
Right, there you go.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Cool.
Exactly. Number 3, Baby Driver. I love this film. Fast, furious, brilliantly stylish. Number 2 is Dunkirk. Christopher Nolan subverts genres to tell us this historical tale in the most visually and sonically captivating way. And my number 1 is Get Out.
Oh,
creepy,
cool.
And it's now out on DVD and Blu-ray as well. And you know what? I can't reveal the. If you guys haven't seen it,
don't ruin
I kind of want to talk to you. I know, but this one is far deeper. On the outset, you probably may think that it's just about racism, but done in a horror movie in a scary way. No, this is deeper than racism. And once you've seen it, come talk to me. I'll tell you what I think about it.
Awesome.
All right, cool. Manny.
There you go.
Oh, one last thing. I don't know if you mentioned it in those 5 movies on the
bottom,
the bad ones, but what's the worst movie of the year so far that you've seen?
Oh my God! You know what? It's in between. I have to look at the feeling of how I felt walking out. You know what? It will be Transformers.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because I was ready to give it a chance because I've never really liked any Transformers. But I'm like, oh, you know, maybe Michael Bay has done something good. But no, the beginning, the first 10 minutes explaining the premise, I'm like, oh, okay, this may turn out good. Yeah. And then we have this barrage of
Then there was that 2.5-hour drive home.
Exactly. And then I drive back home. Yeah. And speaking of driving, I'm on my way to L.A. to see... I can't wait. I can't wait to see Stephen King's It.
Yes! Don't ruin this one. I have a story about this movie.
I'm watching it tonight, and I'm going to visit the It House on Hollywood and Vine in L.A. And then I'm going to interview them tomorrow. So I can't wait.
Yeah, and I hear the promotional items they're handing out at the door, they're called It Bits.
I just want them to give me the yellow raincoat and the red balloon. That's all
there it is. All right, man. MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Go there often and look at his interviews and enjoy your trip out to L.A. and enjoy the Stephen King cast.
Thank you, guys. And next week, movies that I'm looking forward to seeing the next 3 or 4 months of the year.
Nice.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Thank you, Manny.
Thank you, guys. Have a good
weekend. All right, there he goes.
Bye.
There he goes.
Oh, okay. So can I loop my one story into that?
Yeah.
Okay, quick. So the Alamo Draft House, this is in Austin, Texas. They have they were last in the news for taunting the MRAs with women-only screenings of Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. They've decided to do this exclusive event, which is happening on September 9th. It's you have to go and see the Stephen King movie It, but you can only do it if you're a clown. And you have to go in your best Pennywise costume. And they say here, for the special screening of It, all attendees should arrive dressed as a clown in order to attend. Please arrive early and join us on the Barrel O' Fun beginning at 5:30
for an
It pre-party where we'll have face painting available for clown touch-ups, a photo booth, raffle for prizes, and other terrifying merriment.
How many police departments across the country are on high alert for clowns?
Right?
Yeah.
Remember? They were all like coming out.
That's just creepy.
There you go. So creepy, all these clowns. You want to have an ultimate nightmare? There you go.
No,
go there.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
I don't know what it is about clowns that has everybody so creeped out.
They're creepy.
Is it because of movies like It?
No, they're just creepy. They're creepy.
What about French clowns?
I don't care what nationality they are.
No, they're crazy. They're crazy.
Crazy. There it was.
And on that note.
No, you just earned your keep right there.
It is.
I just started thinking, okay, now why did we have Paul on the show again? Oh, the crazy thing.
There it is right there.
There it is.
All right, that'll do it for part one, the first hour of episode 330 of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
I like that number.
It just goes by like that.
Poof.
Coming up in the second half, the second hour, part two, as it were, we have a topic, a top secret topic. I now know what it is.
You do? Okay, there you go.
Gary Warner, our travel dude.
We don't know.
Should I tell you what it is or make you wait?
No, I want to know when... It'll be a complete surprise,
but it does have to do with going someplace. That's in the next hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.